All right, everybody, it's your boy, the director, Chris Keeling. It is September 1st, 2019, and it's been a minute since we've been here. With me, as always, is the lovely, talented Sarah the Ted.
Hello.
And with us also is Elisa Wiggin, also known as the Widow Alice.
Hi, Travels.
So, now that it's been forever and a millennia since we've been doing this, I'm coming with you with the way we were going to form this in the first place. I always had this thought that the CK Project, the Geek Ultral Experience, that's what happens when you have more than one brand, you just get busy. Anyways, the Geek Ultral Experience, the forum I always wanted for it was to talk to different people who are geeky, talk about why they're geeky, and even talk about if it benefits them in their normal life, or if they get shoved in lockers or something. But we're not in high school, so we'll see. So let's start out. We are all geeks. Is that an agreement?
That's yep. Not only the agreement, that's a hell yeah and proud.
Okay, yep. So we get a hell yeah and proud in it. Yep. Okay, so let's talk about what makes us geeky. Or, I tell you what, since this is going to be our first forum show, let's talk about what was it that resonated with you in life that brought you into this culture.
Let's start with you. You always start off and tell us to talk. Let's go with you first.
Okay, that's fine.
Spotlight.
I have no problems talking about my geek obsession. All right, so throughout time of television and toys, they've always cartoons have kind of come up to be kind of like a little bit longer advertisement for toys, at least. Mostly through the 80s and 90s. I don't necessarily know if it's so much now, but, you know, Transformers, G.I. Joe, My Little Pony, whatever. For me, it was Masters of the Universe. He-Man was like the very first toy I absolutely remembered. As a little kid, I had He-Man and I had G.I. Joe. But He-Man resonated with me. And since I turned 40 this year, on my 40th birthday cake, I had a little He-Man and Skeletor. It was exciting. I'm happy. And now that I'm an adult, all the things I loved as a kid just has come around and is better than ever. Superheroes. Transformers. Mm-hmm. Ninja Turtles. Anyways, so that's
God bless CGI.
Right. So with that, for me, the first memories or toys that I would collect was He-Man, G.I. Joe, oh, and Star Wars. Those were like the first three action figures I absolutely remembered ever playing with. It's, I grew up as an only child in a military family, so I kind of got spoiled with He-Man, G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Ninja Turtles. But yeah, that's kind of where it all came up for me, was starting out there. And to relate that to now, I'm a huge, avid comic book fan. And Detective Comics, also known as DC, has the rights to Masters of the Universe. And they've actually done a few stories over the last several years on the Masters of the Universe property. And with that, I got to see the greatest crossover. I got to read it. He-Man and Thundercats. Amazing story. Amazing. My 8-year-old self was so excited. Okay, so with that, let's talk to Sarah the Ted. What got you into some geeky stuff, or what was your first
What geek was your memory? Gateway geek?
My gateway geek was
cartoons. Just like you, basically. I think it was a lot of us growing up in the 80s.
Okay, so...
with cartoons.
So, what? With that being said, what resonated with you?
My
agent. Hold on. So, go ahead and talk.
Well, you know, like you said, you know, you like Transformers and He-Man and all that stuff. I was more like into Rainbow Bright, Strawberry Shortcake, My Little Pony. You know, I like Richie Rich. That was a big one for me.
I will add on to that. I used to watch. I liked Strawberry Shortcake and Rainbow Bright,
you know,
and My Little Pony.
All those.
It's not just a girl thing. It was okay. I liked it. I accept it.
But you know, it was just I was more into the cartoons and stuff like that. You know, Wonder Woman was a big thing for me back in the day. I used 5 years old and wanting to be Wonder Woman was.
So.
You know, that was my thing.
So I take it Wonder Woman's probably the thing that really resonated for you.
Yeah.
And I know growing up and our culture's getting woke and it's showing more about what it is diversifying between races and showing more on genders, you know. Let's face it, you know, we're in a time where Sam Wilson, who in the Marvel Comics is known as Falcon, has taken up the mantle of Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, we now have, due to the movies coming out these days, they're all of a sudden showing all these people, look, there's more than Wonder Woman. You know,
more than Superman or Batman.
Right, more than Supergirl, you know, and Marvel went the way because all their top properties had been sold off as they've gotten them back now, is that they went with B-list, C-list superheroes and they made them famous. So now all of a sudden, Gamora's being cosplayed as... Storm is being cosplayed. Jean Grey. I'm not gonna lie, me personally, the going with the female, I wanna see some Lady Death, some Red Sonja, some Vampirella, you know, get some of these really kinda edgier female characters who are real badasses out there.
I wanna see an Evil Ernie.
I do not know Evil Ernie.
Evil Ernie was... Okay, just to explain, I was the horror geek, a horror comic geek. Evil Ernie was created by Lady Death to just kill everything on the earth. Just so you know.
I'm not gonna lie, I've read Lady Death, but my whole first encounter with Lady Death was like, she's hot.
But for me also, like, to go with the obscure besides cartoons, I'm a Jim Henson fan.
Jim
like
Henson.
Nobody's business.
Okay. No, you are not a Jim Henson fan. You are Jim Henson fangirl.
Yeah, like nobody's business. I love anything that he does, even though it could be the weirdest thing ever, because there was a weird thing that he did back in the day that nobody likes, but I like anything that Jim Henson ever did. I'm also a Charlie Brown fan. I mean, I love anything that has to do with the Peanuts, and so that's, you know, those are, I'm, yeah, I, that's just stuff I like.
For currently fangirl over Studio Ghibli.
Yes.
Wow. Definition of most of our childhoods.
Yep.
Muppets and Sesame Street.
Yes.
Yep. So, Ms. Fangirl of the Horror, what got you into geeky things when you... Because let's face it, we all started out somewhere as kids wanting to be somebody cool like a superhero or a fictional character. What was it for you?
I think it was a gateway towards horror culture and horror comics.
Wait, did you say horticulture or horror culture?
Scary movie culture.
I was just
kidding. But don't forget about your elf quest.
Yeah, my gateway, what got me really early on, the original fairy stories and books. I read Bram Stoker's I was 7 years old.
I'm not going to lie, because I'm going to add to that. So I started, when I started becoming a storyteller, okay, I actually got a graphic novel in my head, and it's called Adam's Redemption. It's about this guy named Adam. He's a family man, ends up becoming a vampire. But his will and his love for his family is so strong that he kind of stays there, right? And to do vampire research, I read Bram Stoker's Dracula. Man, I'm going to tell you now, the book is disappointing. After watching Francis Ford Coppola's movie, which, there you go, I'm also a geek about movies, right? The ending of the movie is way better than the ending of the book. That's all I'm going to say, because if you haven't read the book, you should, because there's a lot of the book that goes along with the movie. It's just
the way... But to a six-year-old, it's a pretty scary book.
But in the book, man, the ending is anticlimactic.
I didn't read that book as a teenager.
It's like Twilight. They build up this big fight scene and then nothing.
Yeah.
But still, 6 and 7 years old... No, wait. Yeah, 7 years old. It was scary as hell. But I like the original stories. My grandmother had me read the original Pinocchio.
Oh, yeah.
Before they re-released it. And I was so pissed when I left the movie theater, because Disney just glossed over all of the cool parts. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he freaking kills Jiminy.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Well, you know, in the end, Disney's family friendly and it wants to keep things... The illusion alive of magic. And yeah, also, my wife's a huge Disney fan.
I am, but not as big as my oldest child, though. She is the... I mean, I always tell her that she could be one of those people that work at the Disneyland, you know, that tells you everything about Disney. She is that... She knows her stuff. You have a question, she'll give you the answer to it.
And, you know, it's funny because... My whole thing was, I always wanted kids, and the three things my kids were gonna know was Star Wars, superheroes, and professional wrestling. I've kind of fallen disenchanted with the current television product of professional wrestling. I love the business. I'm excited for the new AEW. It looks more passionate and fresh. But watching that passion that my friends and my offspring have is well worth it, you know. Yeah. But then they know what Star Wars is and superheroes, and, you know, they all have their favorites. I don't like that my oldest kid pretty much likes every character that I like. I just
Michelangelo's,
yes,
Spider-Man, you know.
And, you know, so...
Yes.
So you get in, okay, to get back on track. So you get in and you find something about the macabre that just interests you. I know my first introduction to the macabre was Elvira. You know, she had her show on. Yeah. In this house, we're outside doing an outside podcast for a little bit of variety. I'm kind of excited about this. We live in my grandmother's house. I remember being a young age and watching Elvira on my grandmother's TV, you know.
Tales from the Dark Side for me.
You know, and then I do remember at a young age exposure to, like, the Creep Show.
I love the Creep Show movies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tales from the Crypt.
I know. Mm-hmm. As I got a little bit older, my dad had some old Perella magazines that I used to read, and some Conan, and so I've always been indoctrinated into these various things. And like I said, He-Man, so obviously my dad was a huge Conan fan, so we definitely had a lot of interest there and commonalities and stuff. And, you know, He-Man was very much a spin-off based off of the Conan series. So yeah. it was nice. But you know, I always felt that is definitely for a more mature audience. But it's good, and you know, it gets into the whole my favorite fantasy characters were barbarians, which makes sense because He-Man's kind of a barbarian, and I like
the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon. God, you know what? I love that.
I didn't see the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah,
Oh my god.
You gotta keep in mind that I was raised on a military base overseas, and we're like at least 6 months behind in television, and we didn't get everything. And so my grandmother would end up recording the cartoons on little Betamax tapes, and she would ship them over to us, and I had like all these volumes. I got introduced to, that's how I watched a lot of G.I. Joe. I'd catch my He-Man cartoons. I would catch Strawberry Shortcake, My Little Pony, Kissy Fur, The Gummy Bears, you know.
Gummy
so,
Bears.
So,
here and there.
Exactly, you know. So I was introduced to all these shows just at different times. That's when I learned about Transor Z. I remember seeing that for the first time, and you know, getting it when Okinawa, we'd get cartoons like Voltron, Defenders of the Earth, you know. So I did get cartoons, just not all the options that y'all had.
Well, I lived in Panama City at the time when these cartoons were going up, and we only had two channels that were doing Saturday morning cartoons. I did get He-Man. I did not get She-Ra. I never saw Strawberry Shortcake or the My Little Ponies or even the Care Bears. But I was He-Man, G.I. Joe, let's see, Looney Tunes Hour, Tom and Jerry, and I can't think of Smurfs and Snorks.
Oh. Yeah. I used to watch
Do
this
not
too.
Like Smurfs.
I hate Smurfs.
Mm-hmm.
Smurfs was fun.
Yeah, no.
So was I like the only one that out of us three that got like ABC, CBS?
Like, holy crap, you man! You're NBC. Like, oh, did you know that was a cartoon? What?
Yes,
The Watchmen. I love the Watchmen movie. Oh, you know it was a cartoon. How the hell do you make the Watchmen into a cartoon?
USA Channel had their Cartoon Hour. I watched cartoons from 6 o'clock in the morning till sports came on. So exactly.
So it's just the cartoon.
I watched like Pink Panther and Son, and
You know, I used to watch Pink Panther.
Captain Caveman and Son, or
watch the old Flintstones.
I did get to see
that would evolve to where they ended up as cops for a while with that thing. Shmoo.
Yes, and they had the Flintstone kids, and they had all those. Mm-hmm. I used to watch all those cartoons. I'm a cartoon connoisseur.
I had like the 13 Ghosts of Scooby Doo.
Yes,
so you know. So, you know, you get ingrained with all this stuff. And honestly, I used to be okay with horror movies, but my grandma would talk through them, and I'd keep watching them with her. And then at just one point, she was watching, like, Friday the 13th Part 5, like, for the 20th time, because she wanted to shut the hell up about talking through it. And at that time, I just didn't like horror movies anymore. And I actually didn't like horror again until I was, like, about 12. I just wasn't into it.
It got ruined.
And even now, I'm not the biggest horror person. There are elements I like about it. Like, I like Michael Myers. I like Jason Voorhees, you know. I like the Scream movies. And I like Saw for the pure fact. I think that it could have been more than it was. I mean, for what it... The type of filming they did on the budget they filmed, they actually made a damn good movie.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I always thought, what if Jigsaw was just like everybody else? What if he was playing the game, too, to somebody else?
Well, the thing about Saw is you could pull it off to this day.
Oh, yeah, and you know, they made another one, and it's actually produced by Chris Rock.
Not coming out till next year, but...
Just got done filming it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I, and me being a storyteller, I pick up on certain things. Like, now, I'm not going to lie, now that I've gone to film school, holy crap, we went and bought the first 8 Friday the 13th, and I just tore it a new hole. I was good with the first 2 parts. Even the third part, no, I think I had problems. Was it the third part I had problems with?
Yeah,
that's right. The third part I had issues with. I'm like, this shouldn't even be part of the series. There's no consistency to the whole story. It didn't make sense.
I love camp slasher movies, but I hated when Friday the 13th left the camp.
Speaking of which, I'm going to do a shameless plug real quick. Lucky Bomb Films, my film company, is currently getting ready to get the AR thriller Unexpected Side Trip funded. And I'm also working on a camp slasher movie script right now that we're going to put it in today. We're going to take the stupid stereotypes of the dumb blondes and all the stupid stuff, and we're going to flip it on its head, make it more parody-like. Scream kind of took the parody serious, and we're going to go with it. Although, we're gonna filter it up and make it look like an 80s movie anyway, just for the hell of it.
Yep.
And then I lost my thought.
Now that I'm a huge game geek, and I know there's cultures, Mario, Zelda, Sonic.
Yeah. You can be a geek about anything, to tell you the truth. I mean, not just pop culture. I mean...
I know. Look at our...
The Bronte sisters.
Look at our 13-year-old autistic son. He's a geek about food. That boy loves his food.
Yeah.
And I love foodies, man. Foodies
and just awesome. So we're clear, this boy can make this lemon lavender pound cake thing that just makes me go, oh my god.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we all have a basis on where we geek out. And obviously more of this will come out as we do more episodes. We want to do this, try to get out bi-weekly because, well, life happens and, you know, I'm trying to get more organized with how we present things. I don't know, Sunday night geek ultra podcast, think we can handle that?
I can do that.
We can do it bi-weekly on Sunday. Sounds good. Sounds good. Now that we've established a line, I want to talk a little bit about how has being a geek affected your life. And I'm not saying, I used to get stuffed in lockers, but, you know, how has it positively affected your life? And if it has, how has it done that?
It saved my sanity.
See, and it is, because it gives you something that even if it's niche, there's a group for it. And then it doesn't matter what. If you meet somebody, I'm into horror too, all of a sudden you got this bond. And I've gone to, like, professional wrestling events, and all of a sudden somebody come up, you like the NWO? Yeah, I like the NWO. It's all too sweet. And you're friends, and you got brothers for life. Same thing, man, with the way I work, and I pay attention to people, because it's customer service job. I've made so many connections off of the fact that I'm passionate about geeky stuff. Someone's wearing a lanyard. You're into this character. Cool. So are you into this character because you're into the character for the comic? Do you like it because it came out in a movie? And then you kind of find out where your true fans are. Oh, no, man, the movie was awesome. Cool, hey, let's talk about the movie. Did you know you could also look at it this way and this way and this way? Oh, that's cool, let's share some more. That's how it works for me. How about you? Sarah the Ted, how has being a geek affected your life?
Well, growing up with an older brother, he was into all sorts of things. I mean, my brother liked Knight Rider. And he liked...
Knight Rider was cool.
Yeah, and he liked Dukes of Hazzard, you know, and stuff like that. General but he would Lee always take cool. my toys. He-Man, had to have something to write on. And when Battle Cat got damaged, my My Little Pony was the best next thing that He-Man sat on.
Well, He-Man's riding a Shetland pony. What the hell is this?
So, yes, okay, My Little Ponies. It was like, what the... Rainbow Dash does not need to be, you know, used for He-Man. But, you know, he did that, you know. But me and my brother, we always shared, you know.
Could you imagine that Rainbow Dash, right? Ah, Rainbow Dash, come to me, Beast Man, so I can ride you into battle.
Yeah. But, you know, as growing...
Sadly, I can see that.
Growing up, you know, I didn't have too many friends that were, like, really into the cartoons and stuff like I was still, you know. Because I had younger siblings that I got... You know, like, had a... After my older brother moved out and everything, and then I had a little brother, my little brother Ben, you know, I was the older sibling, so I raised him and to, like, Star Wars and superheroes. We would watch, you know, Batman together. I got up into the Superman cartoons. We would watch Spider-Man. All that stuff, you know, I raised him, you know, to, like, a lot of that stuff, so I kept watching it all through my teenage years. And my two sisters, you know, they had their thing. They were into Barbie and do this and that, but, you know, not too much that stuff until they got older. Well, my littlest sister, she's into that stuff now, but... And then having kids is what really got into...
Sorry, I'm... Scarring Chris to scratch me.
Anyway, having kids really got me into keeping, you know, up with the still being a geek, because I got to raise my kids on my cartoons.
Okay, I mean, let's talk about early cartoons. Jim or Barbie and the Rockers?
It was both, actually.
You don't prefer one over the other?
No.
Jim.
Do you know that Barbie and the Rockers was totally made to sabotage Jim?
Yes.
Watch that on a documentary. That's funny.
Yes, I don't prefer one over the other. Jim, you know, is pretty cool. I cosplay, so. But Jim, yeah, Jim's pretty cool. I mean, I think Jim had the better music than Barbie, but.
Oh, yeah.
But I liked both. Yeah, I watched both regularly and stuff like that, you know, so it wasn't into that. But, you know, I was equal girly cartoons, boy cartoons, except at a point in my life my older brother wanted to watch his cartoons, and I used to get mad because I couldn't watch certain things during certain times, you know. TV back in the 80s sucked.
So you say that maybe part of what helps is it connects you with your kids.
Yes.
I know. I've sat down and I've watched all of Dragon Ball Z with my kid.
Yes.
And honestly, it took me 20 years to watch that whole entire series. It's just like...
Well, one of my favorite...
What do I do with myself now, man? That's like entirely... That is... oh my God, that show is so long.
One of my favorite cartoon characters is Hello Kitty. And Hello Kitty, I introduced... You know, Autumn to Hello Kitty when she was little. So that was a great thing, because that's considered an anime. And I loved Hello Kitty growing up. And then they brought it out on DVD when she was little, and got to watch all the Hello Kitty that I used to watch growing up. And then also, like, Sailor Moon. Growing up watching Sailor Moon and then introducing it to Autumn, you know, that was the best thing in the world. And then little Chris, you know. He loves Winnie the Pooh. Oh, this kid is crazy over Winnie the Pooh. Over the last couple years, he just really got into Winnie the Pooh. I'm not quite sure why, but I've always loved Winnie the Pooh, and getting, you know, while having him like that stuff, you know, is just, it's a great bonding thing.
And it gives you that thing to connect. And like I said, I know me personally, that my geekness has networked me out to a lot of strong bonds, you know. Even people I don't always necessarily care for, man, you talk about superheroes and we can go all day. Even I'm like, well, you know,
my grandmother introduced me to Betty Boop. She, huge fan, had it all over her kitchen. And she taught me how to sing with the accent like Betty Boop. And I thought it was the cutest thing in the world, or the coolest thing in the world when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, whenever I'm really getting stressed, I watch them on YouTube. And it's just like I'm back there with my grandma having a blast. Just going, I want to be loved by you. It's right. Just so cool.
So, you know, it's funny because in one of my, it was my culture class. I had a pop culture class in film school where it talks about how if you look, there's a lot of things that end up getting recycled, especially like music and fashion and stuff, right? And, you know, and it talked about Betty Boop, specifically Betty Boop. And they were talking about how, if you see the lady she was based off of, she's a real pretty, she's like I want to say Hispanic, I don't remember she's exactly black. Where she's from.
She was a singer in Harlem.
And then, that's right. So, and she was real pretty, you know, and...
And the funny thing about that one is, another singer, tried to sue because Betty Boop ripped her off. Come to find out, she ripped off the singer in, Harlem. Nobody ever paid her the royalties due.
Oh, yeah, you know, and that... I don't know, that was like that song, Hey Mickey, Mickey and Sylvia, you know? Hey, baby. That song originally was done in like the late 40s or sometime in the 50s or something like that. It was, and I think the one that came out on like Dirty Dancing, Game Movie Person, and I, tidbit about me, out of all those movies that would be considered girly, Dirty Dancing is my favorite movie. I love it. Takes me back to fourth grade, and I had a girlfriend, and we kept trying to get that lift, and I could never lift her. And
I think everybody's done that in the pool at one time or another, or the Little Mermaid hair flip in the water.
But we did this in the backyard.
I was Pretty Woman.
I liked Pretty Woman. I'm not going to lie. I liked Pretty Woman. But
I think that's where my love affair of outrageous boots came from.
Dirty Dancing is it for me, though. Yeah. You know, and it really is, it is wonderful when you get to have a chance to share these passions. And, you know, I keep, for a while there, I was apologizing to people at work because I would talk about, oh, this is what's going on right now, I'm writing this movie. And, you know, and now that's what I've been really geeking out is making stuff. Content. Blogging, podcasting, movies, videos, that's it.
I'm interested in bounding lately.
Disney bounding?
Just bounding.
Are you talking about bounding like BDSM? Hey, you can. Hey, there's sex geeks out there, I'm just saying.
Yeah, there is, but no, I mean bounding like Disney bounding, Marvel bounding. I'm currently working on a Cruella the Devil jacket, and
no, did you, speaking of Cruella de Vil, did you see Emma Stone as Cruella de Vil?
No.
I'm not gonna lie, she's always been the most hideous villain in all of Disney.
Yeah,
but I'm a little bit turned on by Emma Stone as Cruella de Vil. I'm not even gonna lie.
I love Cruella. I love the over the top. I don't think I will ever bound as a princess or the fainting fair maiden, or I want the tough chick.
I'll do Ariel. I would. I'll do a gender bend Ariel in a heartbeat.
I think I was cool. I still want to be, Ursula, you go and be Prince What's His Face. Prince Vanilla Bland.
You know, I'm trying to convince a friend, because her 4-year-old son looks like a young Justin Timberlake. I'm trying to convince her to let me dress him up like Justin Timberlake, and maybe my son is Andy Samberg, and I want to dress up like Lady Gaga. I don't know, since I've lost all this weight, I just I don't care anymore, man. I want to do it because of reactions. Like yesterday, I put on a romper. Let me tell you something.
Who's the silliest thing I've ever seen?
You look like an Easter egg.
I look like an Easter egg, and not only that, but...
No. You look like an Easter egg on LSD.
A romper is like the most horrible choice for fashion anyways, because I'm like, I don't want to get naked just to take a dump, dude. Seriously? I don't see how anybody can do that. Oh, it looks cute.
No, it's not worth it. I hated wearing rompers as a kid. I hate them.
And your 12-year-old self's cursing me right now. All right, Sarah the Ted? But no, you know, so that's it. Just look right here. Here, listen to us, man. Geeking out's done. We've become good friends, and some of us...
No, we haven't become friends. We've been family.
And you know, obviously, a little tidbit. When Sarah and I got together, I don't think she realized how geeky I was. I don't think I realized how geeky I was. And then I remember... her first reaction, because I was really into professional wrestling. I'm like, oh, it's Monday night, gonna go watch my wrestling. And she's like, oh God, no.
Yeah, now I'm into it.
Yeah, when it comes to wrestling, my neck of the woods, it's the wrestling, it's the hunting, it's the fishing, it's the spitting, it's chewing, and you run for the hills.
Yeah, well, where you're from...
You are so not one of those.
Yeah, but for where you're from, though, you also... Again, and then I hate history except for when it's to irrelevant shit. You know, back in where you're from, they were all about the territories way before Vince came in and bought everybody out for the WWE. So it was different, man. You had like your stars were like Ric Flair and Jerry Lawler, which of course everybody knows if you watch wrestling nowadays. But back when you were younger, you didn't know, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you were in the territory, you really didn't know who they were. And you know, the first time I ever caught who Ric Flair was, he started coming in the former WWF, and he started a feud with Randy Savage. I remember that SummerSlam. I remember that stuff.
I remember
the over-top characters that were fun. The Hulk Hogan, what you gonna do, brother? You know. And the Macho Man's going, ooh, yeah. So, I miss that
story. I remember my grandmother, I was sick as a dog, and there was only wrestling on and soap operas. And my grandma was like, no, you're not gonna watch either one of those. They're both bad stories.
So
go get a book.
So I'm gonna tell you a no shit story. In Okinawa, we have very limited programming that was in English, right? So, there was a time that I was, I'm not gonna lie, I was addicted to General Hospital. Back when John Stamos was on as Blackie, and Robert Wagner was on there, and...
Robert Wagner?
No, it wasn't Robert, it was Jack Wagner.
That's right,
a Spencer or whatever. Yeah. Yes, God, I can't even know how I remember these names. So, yeah, I used to watch it, and then I tried to watch it within the recent years, just to kind of, well, there's nothing else on, and just like, no. But I have mad respect for them, because I hear they have to learn all their lines the night before they actually have to perform it.
Oh, yeah.
So never disrespect a soap opera actor, because you know what? When they get their chance in the real world, a lot of them blow up. Look at Christopher Reeves, the definitive...
Look at Brendan Rowe.
Superman, yeah. Oh, the other...
Supernatural!
The other Superman. He did, you know, he was a super...
The guy who plays Dean was on Young and the Restless.
Oh, that's right.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, she was on Young... she was on one of those shows, too.
Yeah.
Days of Our Lives, I think. Which is actually a better rep than the guy who plays Giles, because he was a coffee commercial that had the Midwest wives just drooling. Oh, let's just say they're drooling.
Anthony Head, you know what? He was doing they were doing like a musical thing one time, and he did Sweet Transvestite.
Oh, I remember that.
You rocked the shit out of that. It was pretty awesome. I'm not even kidding.
Since day one, I have had a major crush. Like, I do with, I can't even think of his name. Hans Gruber.
Oh, yeah. Oh, crap.
The actor that plays Hans Gruber. I have been in lust with him since Hans Gruber.
Oh, my God. And all of a sudden...
And she likes him as Professor...
Oh, Alan Rickman.
Yes, thank you. And I couldn't care less about the coffee show, but he was smart, he was British, he was polite, and he could kick your ass.
Right.
Wasn't Alan Rickman in Dogma?
Uh-huh.
He was.
Yeah.
See, yeah, he was the Minotaur.
You want to know what got her right there? The key word was British. There's something about it that...
No, it's manners.
Yeah, so, you know, it was good, you know. And then we'll have to, as we get towards Halloween, I think we're going to have to do a multicast of just talking about different Halloween specials and movies and horror genre.
Beetlejuice and Hocus Pocus.
I'll make the controversial statement right now that Bill Skarsgård's the better Pennywise over Tim Curry.
I agree.
Don't make me hit you.
And with that being said, that's gonna be it for the night. As always, the director, as long with Sarah the Ted and Widow Alice. Wish you all a good night.
Good night.
We will see you in about 2 weeks to talk more about geek stuff. All right. Have a good one.
Bye.